Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you begin to talk to God. Talk to God. Tell him, Papa, talk to me. My heart is open. I want to feed. Tell the Lord, Father, open my heart. I want to feed. Talk to me. Papa, now I want to, because this is the climax of today's service. In the fellowship around the world. The sharing of the bread of life. Amen. Tell God, Papa, talk to me. Hallelujah. Know that when the word go on now, somebody will put on the shield of self-righteousness and throw it back to the preacher. Tell God to talk to me now.
I want more of you. I want more of you.
In Jesus' name we pray. Let our prayer be hymn number 69. Let's sing it sitting down. Hymn number 69. Let's sing it sitting down. It's a prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Because what I want to share this afternoon, amen. If your ears are not open, you will just, your coming here today will just be useless. But if your ear can open, even if after today you don't come to church again, you are okay. It's a prayer. Let's go now.
Open my heart.
Oh Lord,
silently now I wait
for thee.
Already, my God, thy will to sing. Open my eyes in love and me. Spirit divine.
May the Lord answer that prayer. Let's pick our text as we pick our Bibles and stand up from Romans chapter 13. Romans, can we just stand up for a text? Romans chapter 13. I read one verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Let me read it from verse 11. Let me just read from verse 11. Romans 13. And that. Some people are sitting down. Maybe you don't understand why we say we should stand up. When the national anthem is sung in every country, everybody there, whether you are a citizen or not, provided you are in that location, you will stand up. And this is our national anthem. Even if you are not born again, you must stand up, since you are in the location. Are they all up? Including those not born again? Thank you. If you are born again, you will stand up. Honor the word of God. Okay, this is our national anthem. Verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the laws thereof. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And I'm picking my text from that verse 11. The last sentence in that verse says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And our text, sermon topic for today, the little exhortation I have, little but mighty exhortation I have, is titled, Our Redemption is Nearer. I didn't say it's near, I say nearer. It has been near, but now it is nearer. Hallelujah. And why is there a need for us to stress this? There is a comment in 2 Peter chapter 3. Can we open it? That Apostle Peter was drawing our attention to far back in the first church age. And this is what he had to say from verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which we have spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And Apostle Peter continues in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God. Somebody say the word of God. Say it again. He said, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. When was that? In the days of Noah. It was by the word. What he's saying there is that it is this same word that the end is coming, destruction is coming upon the world. He spoke it by his word. But the thing there is that because he does not tell you the date, the time, the hour that he will strike, people tend to relax. But Apostle Peter is saying that it is that same word that he gave. And Noah preached that word that there will be a destruction coming up in this world 120 years. But that word that was spoken came to pass. For God watches over his word to perform it. And this is what he's saying. He repeated it. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The certainty of the word of God is everywhere in the scriptures. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. It says heaven and the earth will pass away, but my word, hallelujah, will never pass away. Whatever God speaks must come to pass. And we are looking at the judgment side of God's word. And see something Apostle Peter is saying here, verse 3. He said, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, after their own desires, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now listen, because this is Bible. When he says that scoffers will come walking in their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? They are not saying it with mouth. The life that you live is what is announcing to the whole world that you don't believe that that word will come to pass. You have to catch it like that first. It is the word, the life that you live. You cannot say, I am ready. I know if I die today, I will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because nobody knows the day, the time, or how you will die. God deliberately kept that away from us. And he can come for you anytime. How many people believe it? Okay? When we say you will not die untimely death, we are saying that you will not die before the time that God has allotted for you. Because he's the one that keeps the time. So we say untimely, we are judging it by God's own time. Praise the Lord. And now, if you say, for instance, that I know that he can come for me at any time. Amen. And truly you believe it, it will reflect in the kind of life that you live. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't go and carry a woman that is not your wife and go and sleep with her, maybe even overnight, and sleep with her and still confess that you believe that God can come for me at any time. What if while you are sleeping on the bed today, you don't wake up the next day? It's true now. So that is evidence you don't believe. Because if you believe, hallelujah, you will understand what Apostle Paul said, that we should walk out our salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And Jesus Christ said he will come like a thief in the night. He said if the master of the house had known what time the thief will come, he would have prepared. Amen. He said watch and pray, because you don't know the hour he's coming. And see, church, amen. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody here? This Jesus we are talking about
He is coming back. How many people believe it? Amen. He's coming to collect a people on earth here. How many people are ready to go with him? Put down your hand first. I never asked finish you to put up your hand. I didn't say everybody put up your hand. I don't hear English. Those who are ready now, if he come now, it's strike, bam, you'll be with him. How many? Okay. Wait now till we reach there. I'll look for you. I'll look for you now. Because me, I'm sure I'll be there. Who can say I am sure I'll be there? Who else? Okay. I will look for you when we get there. Please, when you get there, look for me. You will see me. Certainly you will see me. Praise the Lord. Because I am doing everything to be there. That's why I live the kind of life that I live. You are doing everything not to go there. That's why you too, you are living the kind of life you are living. Somebody here. It's true now. Somebody who say anytime I'm ready to go, but you are still, you know, living the same life people in the world are living. You are non-believer. You are non-believer, Joe. You are not even a tear. You are non-believer. Tear is better than you. Because a tear is planted there by the devil. It's there on assignment. It's on. It's already concluded. Praise the Lord. So the life that you live is true. The signs are all around. Jesus Christ was asked in Matthew 24, what will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the world? And he began to tell them, there will be false prophets, false anointed ones, false Christs. They will come in his name. They will do this. And in addition to that, he said, there will be distress of nations. Nations will rise against nations. Wars and rumors of wars. Pestilences. Earthquakes, natural disasters, everywhere now confirm that that prophecy is fulfilled. We are in the end time. That's the truth. There's tension everywhere. In the Middle East now, tension. Everywhere, tension. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And among the things that we expect at the end, according to the divine timetable, hallelujah, is that superpower, amen. Remember that Daniel was given a dream, Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream that Daniel interpreted, amen. And the interpretation of that dream was the four world powers that we rule. After the four world powers, the fourth one has ruled. Then Christ will come and rule the way he interpreted it. Amen. And we know that the four world powers, the first one was the Babylonian Empire that ruled the world of that time. The second one was the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medes and the Persians, they took over from Nebuchadnezzar. The Babylonian Empire. After that, the Grecian Empire, Greece, took over. And time went on, the Romans took over. We are still in the period of the last power. Remember that the Bible says that power, that's what the Bible called the beast. The beast is the power. Remember that beast was wounded. Amen. But the same Bible says it was later healed. Amen. So that tells you that yes, the beast was wounded. When was he wounded? During the World War. Hallelujah. That is when that kingdom was, you know, crippled. But it was healed. So that it can play the last role it has to play before Christ will come. And one of it is the coming together of the European Union, which is actually the old former Roman Empire. And you now know that they are getting themselves stronger and stronger until them that it was dollar that helped them to start sit again. I'll come to that later. But whatever it is, you now know that the euro is stronger than the dollar now. Eh? Despite all the economic depression in Europe, up till now, the euro is still stronger than the dollar. It is because the Roman Empire has come back to take over the rulership of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to understand that. Hallelujah. And part of the role of Rome. Rome has physical and spiritual powers. I hope I will have time to show you in the scriptures. And right now, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The spiritual power will take over the imperial power. And the spiritual power, spiritually, hallelujah, amen. Spiritually, the beast is there. There is a spiritual one, and there is a physical one, political one. Amen. Now, and the spiritual one too is supposed to take over the rulership because he is going to take over from the political room. They are all in Rome. And that power is coming from the papal seat, the Pope. And you know that the Pope also, amen, he too was wounded by the sword. Hey, okay. I'm just telling this in summary because I want to show you something in details here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Pope too is getting healed. And he's getting stronger and stronger. And in the whole world, the most respected human being on earth today is the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. That's the truth. That's the truth. He's the most respected human being on earth. He's more respected than the President of America. He's more respected. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am telling you this, and it is there to serve an end time purpose. As prophesied in the scriptures. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And watch it. We will go in the rapture. But before we go in the rapture, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And what I'm preaching, you will not hear any denominational preacher preach it. You will never hear them preach it. Even the comments I want to pass now today, that we've been expecting recent developments that should arouse curiosity and response from Christendom. They know nothing about the implication of certain worldwide developments. They know nothing about it. And we as preachers are supposed to be watchmen. To see something coming, as we watch prophecy, something is happening. It is our duty to tell you, see what is happening. Could it be this prophecy fulfilling? Then we watch. That's the reason for this message this afternoon. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, second coming, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So Apostle Paul is telling us here, before Christ will come, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will be revealed. If he is going to be revealed, church, something that is visible need no revelation. Amen. It means, hallelujah, his identity is mysterious. And anything that is mysterious, it will take God to grant you understanding. And that's why, concerning the Antichrist, the son of perdition, not too many people know about who he is and how he is operating.
But the bride will know before the rapture. How many of us are here? Yes. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why at several times I have knelt down in my privacy, in my room, lifted up my hand to heaven and just begin to thank God for causing me to see this entire message. I'm telling you, that's the greatest gift that God can give anybody in this age. Because so many people that claim they are born again, you are only religious. I am emphasizing all this because I have found out that I am not talking to only you people anytime I'm preaching. People are listening. After service today, people from other churches will come here and buy our messages. They told me somebody came here with 6,000 naira and bought messages. I went with it. Somebody called me, maybe they are watching now, from Canada, 3 days ago. I was thanking God that led him to our site, to the website, to hear the things he has never heard before. And he's a pastor. You see? So, when I'm talking, you have to bear with me because people are hearing us worldwide. And some of you are going to get this message after service today, and you don't know where the thing will go from your hand. People need to hear things that the devil has stopped them from hearing. But the wise shall understand. How many of them here? Wise men from the north. Eh? And the north too. And the north too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I read on. Let no man deceive you by any means, verse 3, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God. This called God here, that is anything that is divine. Anything that is divine, he exalts himself above all. All that is worshipped. And when you say you are worshipping, praise the Lord, you have to know the meaning of worship before you can know whether you are worshipping something or not. Anything you give reverence to, you are worshipping it. And that's why we keep telling people that a man that will answer Reverend Moses Alu, it is an Antichrist spirit. Because you are desiring worship. The Bible says the name of God is reverent because it's one to be worshipped. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And any human being that makes himself infallible, to be infallible is to be one that does not make mistakes. You are making yourself God. Because only God is infallible. And that office says he is infallible. So whatever he says, his followers take it as thus said the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apart from physical obeisance, they come and bow. Bow. It is only God that you bow before. Bowing is a symbol of worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Who opposed and exalted himself, verse 4, above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to catch that first. And this period of time, Revelation chapter 13 is becoming clearer. Let's go there now. Because it is there he is pointed out. But where I am going today, praise the Lord, See, let me tell you something, church. The Bible says we are not unaware of the devices of the devil, Satan. When the Bible calls, as you read further in that chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 7 there says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So if it is a mystery, then you will need revelation. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, you see, Satan that is responsible for all the sins of this world. Who has ever seen Satan? Who has ever seen him? Nobody has ever seen Lucifer. Nobody. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. We know today by revelation that the serpent, listen, the serpent went after Eve. It was something that was pushing him. I hope you know that. The thing that was pushing him, that is the spirit that possessed him to change his thinking, to begin to look at sex for pleasure. I want you to understand something I want to say. As far as the serpent was concerned, why was he chasing that man's wife? Sex for pleasure. Because that is what the devil made him to understand what sex is for. But the devil that was pushing him to do that had an agenda that even serpent himself did not know. That is where the mystery is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in Revelation chapter 13, we have the same picture. Revelation chapter 13. Are we there? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just for the purpose of emphasis, let's read it. The whole, from verse 1. Let's just read it. So that you can catch the picture. Now, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Amen. Which beast is that? Say it if you know it. It's Rome. Hallelujah. That is the Roman Empire, is that beast that stood up upon the sand of the sea. That means, which sea is that? That sea that you see there is the Mediterranean Sea. That sea is where that first civilization that we see in the Middle East, all those empires, all those, they were all around that sea in the Middle East. Now, if he said that he stood out of the sea, remember, put on the spirit of revelation, somebody, because we are talking the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. Coming out of the sea, we know from the scripture that sea means people, multitude, people. It means that beast was formed from, it rose from among existing people. Amen. Hallelujah. That was the first beast that he saw. But my emphasis is not that first beast. Go to verse 11. And I beheld another beast. You see now, there is the first one. Now this is another beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Hey, hallelujah. The other one came out of the sea. But this one, this beast is coming out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Hallelujah. And deceive them. But before I come to that, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This second beast, I want you to note, it came up from the earth. And this second beast is America. Why is it coming up from the earth? Because the nation of America, that power, was formed, you know, from a deserted place. That continent of North America, we know that it was discovered by Christopher Columbus in 1492, and got her independence in 1776. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that what that nation came about, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that after, remember that it was this industrial revolution that was coming up. So there has to be expeditions to go out and discover places. That is how colonization started. Wherever you can get raw materials for your industrial revolution. And then within that same period also, the papacy was in control. And anybody that will not follow that false religious system, they were facing persecutions. And people that desire freedom of worship, and those that wanted to run from tyrannical governments, they were running away from, they found freedom in a land that was not inhabited by any form of government. That is how these Europeans and the Spanish people and everybody there, they discovered that land and everybody got there. You will notice that the early people that got there, they were colonists, colonial masters, looking for where they can colonize. And that is why you hear of independence in 1776. It means America too was colonized. But it was a gathering of essentially people who were looking for freedom of worship. And that's why the American Constitution was founded on Bible ethics, Christian ethics. Praise the Lord. So that you will understand why that beast that came out had two horns. A horn signifies power. It had political power also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the constitution was also Bible based. So it was a Christian politics mixed together. And that's why their early founders, the early leaders, hallelujah, all of them were Christians. Christians. And it is that nation, hallelujah, that supported the spread of Christianity more than any other nation in the whole world. They led in it. Amen. That is why it is described as a lamb. The lamb there is the spiritual outlook of that nation. But the lamb later on began to speak as a dragon. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, now. Something that was supposed to be as a Christian nation, all of you, you know what it is now. Nobody can doubt that. All of us, you know the dragon part of him now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And why do we say, talk about America? Amen. Amen. America, if you don't mind, let me show you and prove to you that America, this second beast is America. Amen. Now, if you have ever seen the $1 bill, the $1 bill of American $1 bill. Amen. That is it there. on the screen. Look at it very well. Praise the Lord. You take time. If you cannot see clearly now, after, get the tape and look at it. Number one, you will discover that America first and foremost, amen, is made up of the first 13 colonies that agreed to form the nation of America. The 13 colonies started the nation. Secondly, in the pyramid there you see, hallelujah, in that picture, 13 steps on the pyramid of the great seal. Well, if you look at that picture very well. Also, thirdly, 13 letters in Anuit Coptis. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anuit Coptis, there, what it is saying there is announcing conception of a nation. The letters there, if you count those letters, they are 13. Anuit Coptis. Fourthly, hallelujah, the shield on the eagle has 13 stripes. 13 stripes. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 13 stripes in the shield of the eagle. And number five, above the eagle, if you look at it very well, 13 stars are scattered around the eagle. Number six, 13 letters. Amen. Hallelujah. Written on that dollar bill, you will see what do they call it? It's a pluribus unum. This should be Latin, right? A pluribus unum is written right there. Hallelujah. By that eagle there. That is what is written there. That is the motto. The motto of the shield of America, the coat of arms, their motto, the motto for the nation of America is E Pluribus Unum. It means one of many. They are many, but they have become one. And I think that is also in their national anthem. Number seven, there are 13 arrows in the eagle's left talon, like that. And number eight, there are 13 leaves. 13 leaves, you know, and likewise, also 13 fruits on the olive branch in his right talon. And finally, America in prophecy is found in the book of Revelation chapter 13. No controversy. There is no controversy. Lie, there is no controversy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take a look at that picture very well when you have the time. And look at this, you know, they are not coincidences. They are there and they are pointers to those that God will open their eyes to know that mystery of that second beast. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to verse 15. Verse 14 first. Let's go to verse 14. Amen. Verse 14 says, remember that verse 13 says, that beast doeth wonders, great wonders, so that he make a fire to come down from heaven. I will explain that. Verse 14, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beasts. He was telling them that dwell on the earth to do what? They should make an image to the beast. Which beast? The first beast. They should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beasts. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And church, listen. The image to the beast. This is Revelation. And let me tell you, all those who have taken time to study, all of them agree, because the pointers are too many there to doubt this revelation, that the image to the beast, hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember, the beast was wounded, but yet lived. And I told you something, that the image there, Daniel chapter 7, described that same Roman Empire with 10 horns. In the midst of that 10 horns, there was a little horn. Amen. Making how many horns? 11 horns. The 10 horns there are the 10 nations. Forget the additions they are adding now, because some of those nations split it. But put them together, they are still the same people that cover that region. Amen. And the little horn is the Vatican City, a state within a state. Yet little. I was reading somewhere last week or so that it covers just 100-something acres or so of land. 100-something acres. Is it acres or hectares? Acres. It's acres. And yet, as little as that place is, it has her police, her bank, their own currency, they have it. They have their state television. They have all. In fact, in the United Nations, they refuse to recognize them as a nation, but they are an observer nation. They have a seat there. They have a seat there. That is the little horn. Now, the beast was wounded. Hallelujah. When was that beast wounded and yet lived? That is in the Reformation period. Luther started the first blow. Remember that it was wounded with a sword. And what is the sword of the Spirit? The word. The word. Hallelujah. Luther came with the word and broke her backbone. Hallelujah. And that was when the supremacy of that office was destroyed. And then on, things began to happen that reduced it to nothing in the scheme of things worldwide. And from there, other reformers came up. Where Luther stopped, Wesley continued. Others continued. And everybody was facing that room. All of them. Pointing to tell the whole world that is the center of error. That is how it was wounded. Yet, this beast, American beast, rises up to form an image unto that beast. To form an image is to form an organization that will eventually recognize that beast. And that image is the World Council of Churches. Praise God. It's the World Council of Churches. Hey, otherwise known as WCC. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was formed in Uppsala. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Sweden. In July. It was within the activity that spanned from the 4th of July to the 20th of July, 1968. And the headquarters at present is in Geneva, Switzerland. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, listen, let's go back to Revelation chapter 13. Verse 13. 13, 13. 13, 13, 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beasts. Hallelujah. And causing fire to come down from heaven is another revelatory language. Amen. He does not have the type of power Elijah has. God reserved the ability to call down physical fire from above to the Elijah anointing. The fire that comes down is the technological advancement that America went into, especially in warfare. Hallelujah. In the development of bombs, nuclear energy, atomic energy. Hallelujah. When he went to those two cities in Japan, during the Second World War, it was when he stepped into it by that means of dropping that atomic bomb that ended the Second World War. When they saw that somebody had that type of weapon, it was only normal that they should surrender. If not, they will finish all of you. In a moment that that bomb dropped, it is recorded in history that over 100,000 people in a twinkle of a moment died. And those who were alive, who were far from the shock of it that vibrated to them, they said that the effect put tattoo on their skin as if they were wearing colored clothes. It was so powerful it pierced to the ground until they said it cooked potatoes under the ground. And you and I know today that America is the world's superpower. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Once Europe was knocked down, she was the one left. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And let's read on. Let's read on. And by the means, verse 14, he said, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beasts, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And it is recorded that the greatest financier of the World Council of Churches is America. The backbone of WCC is America. Encouraging them. And what is WCC? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is WCC? The World Council of Churches. It is nothing. Revelation chapter 17 speaks about the harlot and the mother of harlots. The harlot there is a Catholic church. The mother of harlots. The mother there. The mother of harlots. The mother. The mama. If the mama is a harlot, the children will be harlots. Because she will teach her how to harlot well, well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you hear of the daughter of Jezebel? What she also did. Amen. After Jezebel was gone. Anyway, but whatever it is, church, people that left, protested, the Protestant churches that left the Catholic church,
protested and left. But church, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If papa, mama and daughter quarrel, they must settle now. They must settle. Mama and her daughters, they are quarreling. So, somebody is coming to mediate between them. That is the whole agenda. America is doing it because to her, amen, she feels she has an obligation to Christianity. That they should not be divided. They should come together. But unknown to them, the spirit that is pushing her to do that has an agenda in future. Amen. Hallelujah. And all the Protestant churches that have protested from Catholic Church, he started by gathering them together, called World Council of Churches. While they are busy gathering, I don't know whether, I think Catholics, at least in Nigeria, I think Catholic has joined Christian Association of Nigeria now. But for years, up to at least a few years back that I know, that Catholic was never part of World Council of Churches. Catholic was not part of Christian Association of Nigeria. No, it's deliberate. It's deliberate. Hallelujah. It's deliberate because to start with, hallelujah, Catholic cannot go and be in an organization that they will not be heard. Because they are the biggest. So if you are going to come together, but above all is that the agenda, the satanic agenda there is to finally make them, bring all of them back to the Pope to submit themselves again so that they can be one as they were before. And so, they have all united, and while the Christians are doing their own, through another arm of the Catholic system, they are busy wooing other religions to also come together and form what is called the Ecumenical Council, so that every religion can come together since it is one God we are worshipping. Why are we divided? And while they are there looking for peace, they don't know there is an agenda behind it. I watched on the television, the Catholic television station. I watched it. Few years back, when the whole religious leaders in the world gathered in Rome for a meeting with the Pope. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They gathered there so that concerning religion, everybody will come under one headship. And there is no human being on earth. Those who say there is no God, they are very few. So to submit world governance to one man, it will be an easy role, you know. Just the whole world will vote him. Come. If you disagree, the whole world will stand against you few. And then you know what is tribulation and confusion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what has given birth to every country forming their own Christian association. It is called the Christian Association of Nigeria, Christian Association of Ghana, Christian Association of Togo, Christian Association of whichever country. Every country now has it. And all of them send representation. The leader goes to represent them at the World Council of Churches. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that not the perfect type of Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. Amen. Lifted up an image. And order that at the hearing of the flute. Amen. And especially there are six instruments also that is mentioned there. Everybody should bow
to that image. If you refuse to bow to that image, what will happen? They'll put you on fire. That is where I got my text. I preached a message I titled Bow and Burn. Praise God. Bow and burn. Amen. Then you understand what Jesus Christ said. He who will lose his life, he will save it. And he who will save his life, he will lose it. He said, if you don't bow, he said, you will burn. But the truth is if you bow, then you will burn. But if you don't bow, hallelujah, they can only destroy the flesh. They cannot destroy the soul. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And therefore, you must not bow. You must not bow to the Antichrist system. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You cannot bow. We must not bow. Whatever it is. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Daniel refused to bow. Amen. Hallelujah. He said he should not pray in any other name other than the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Is it Nebuchadnezzar Beersheba? Is that not Beersheba? It's Beersheba. Eh? The king, that the son of Nebuchadnezzar that took over. Praise the Lord. The king said, of course, they were targeting the Jews when they brought that law. Apart from his name, let none other people pray, you know, in any other name other than the name of the king. And the Bible says that because of it, Daniel, a type of the bride. Oh, hallelujah. He climbed upstairs and opened his window. Even before he was praying secretly, now he will pray openly. I was praying there to the hearing of everybody. They grabbed him and threw him to the lion's den. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They threw him to the lion's den. Amen. From the lion's den, did he die? After that, what happened? He was promoted. Hallelujah. He became a king. A ruler. A type of the bride. That we refuse to bow even in the lion's den as we are now in the whole world. But there is a promotion awaiting us. Overcomers. He that overcometh will I give to sit on my throne as I have overcome and I'm seated in the throne of my Father. Hallelujah. That is thus said the Lord. We cannot bow. Nothing can bow to nonsense. That is why we are bringing this revelation. No entire message believer will join the Christian Association of Nigeria. We know better who you are. And we are not unaware of the device of the enemy. When Christian Association of Nigeria was formed, I know, at least I was reading newspapers, that the Pentecostals, they say, Lai, how can they and Sele go and become one? How can they and this one come and become one? They speak in tongues. Those people don't believe in miracles, signs and wonders. Her Methodists, all this one, they say we should come together. Form what? They refuse. Satan knows better. It is an agenda. Small time, the Pentecostals say, let's form our own. Let's form our own. Then they form Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria. Hallelujah. Small time, the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria, the leaders as a group, went and registered with CAN. Making PFM part and to cuddle them so that we will truly be together. It is a Pentecostal now that is the president of the Christian Association of Nigeria. Hallelujah. Hey, can't you see something happening? And before long, amen. So a few years back, this church was just few months old. I was invited to a meeting of end time message pastors.
When I went there, I saw where the creature. They say we are all divided. We are all scattered. We are all, you know, why now? The prophet say, let's come together. And before you know what, they came together. There was chairman. Then there was secretary. Amen. I will never forget the second meeting I attended. I was sitting down there. I heard a voice that told me, you don't belong here. Amen. I was sitting with one of my daddies that I have so much respect for. At Ikoyi, Brother Emeka. And I turned and looked at him and said, sir, the Lord just told me that I don't belong here. This will be my last time of coming here. I came back and I told you, Pastor Thomas. I told you. I said, see what happened. 2 years after, they sent me another letter that I should come. They meet every month or so at that time. 2 years after, they sent me a letter. I said, why are these people sending me a letter? Now, what are we going to do with them? The minister said, no, go. Maybe God wants to use you. Maybe there is something. I said, okay, make I go see what they do there. I went there somewhere at Bariga. I sat down there. And while I was sitting down there, it was my turn to speak. I stood up. I said, please, I just want to let you people know that I only came to visit you. I'm not part of you people. I said, this is the reason why I'm not part of you people. I said, I am suspecting you people. I said, why I'm suspecting you is like what happened to the Pentecostals want to take place in the end time message. I said, in your introduction, you say, this seat is for the chairman, but he has traveled to London. That's why the seat is empty. Now you have chairman. In your reading of your last minutes of the last meeting, you were speaking about decisions that we are taking. How that only the pastors can come with one or two other ministers from this church to be part of that meeting. I say, I suspect all of you. I say, all of you, take time with this message. I'm telling you, that's why they don't like me. I say, you are trying to take us and register us with cannabis. I said, I am not part of you. Thank you. I sat down. After, I chopped their food. Eat the meat. Enter my car, come out. Those who feel greet me, then greet me. Those who don't greet me, I say, oh, praise the Lord. That is how Pentecostals join. But this message, no true believer of this message will join that group. That is the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have a few more things to say. I never finish. We can talk. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I keep saying something. That the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. See, I believe with the whole of my heart. As I study that Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are a type of the tribulation saints. I believe it. And I'll tell you why I say I believe it. Remember that Daniel already knew by, or was a man of revelation. He was the only one that could interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. That means he already knew the role that Nebuchadnezzar was playing. Therefore, his relationship with Nebuchadnezzar will certainly be defined by that knowledge. Now, secondly, another time again, Belshazzar, correct? Saw a hand that wrote a writing on the wall. Listen, church. A handwriting on the wall that the king of the Medes could not interpret. Hallelujah. What happened? It was Daniel that came. He understood the handwriting on the wall. And church, I preached a message here that I titled The Handwriting on the Wall. And what was the interpretation of the handwriting on the wall? That they had been weighed in the balance and found wanting. It was a judgment that was pronounced. And church is a type of the bride. What is happening in the world today is the handwriting on the wall that only the bride will have the meaning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why, read the story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego refusing to bow to that image. Daniel does not appear there. Why? Because by the time, blessed be the name of the Lord, they were thrown into the fire. That fire there is a type of the tribulation. And the tribulation takes place only after the rapture. In the last 3.5 years, before the coming back, or let me say, after 3.5 years, the rapture has taken place. And so, they were thrown into the fire. Amen. But glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They resisted the king. They refused to bow to the image because the World Council of Churches and what they will do with Rome only takes effect during the last 3.5 years, by which time the rapture has taken place. Amen. And so they made an image, and they were telling them to bow before Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They refused to bow to that image. The image there that a power raised, hallelujah, is a type of the World Council of Churches, hallelujah, that you will be told you either join it, as we shall read down, or you will not be allowed to buy nor to sell. Amen. And that is the reason why there will be tribulation. But for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, I'm going somewhere. For Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego to refuse to bow, it is because there is something else, a revelation they knew. They form the foolish virgins. Now let me quickly say something. I thought I would discuss it with Thomas and those of you who teach, Francis and Victor. Because 3 weeks ago, I will never forget that, God talks to me. But we don't establish a doctrine by a revelation. But if you receive any revelation, then you run it through scripture. If not, throw it away. I was praying in my room when the Lord spoke to me. I have always preached that the foolish virgins did not hear the message. The Lord told me it is wrong. That the foolish virgins, they are coming from those who had the message. And this is what he showed me. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 25. Go to Matthew 25. And if you disagree, please meet me and correct me. But I'm telling you this. I got excited when I saw it. For years, I have always preached that the foolish virgins are in the denomination. They are not in the denomination. Listen. Listen. I read from verse 1. So just catch the picture. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, this is where the key is. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh.
go ye out to meet him. Then, after the cry, then all those virtues arose and trimmed their lamps. Now, who fulfilled the midnight cry? 8070. Who fulfilled that cry? Which ministry?
William Branham. Yes.
Now, he said, when he cried, then all the virgins arose. It means they heard the message. They all heard the message. Amen. So, the wise and the foolish. Now, the wise and the foolish. And this is important, church. Hallelujah. They all heard. Everybody sitting down here, you have heard the message. But there are two groups of people sitting down here. Some are busy looking for anointing to cast out devils and know nothing about revelation. While the other group is here, busy dreaming up their revelation, making their calling election sure, the others are busy with this same message, doing some other things and have no time to trim their lamps. You are the one. You are hearing me now. There is none of you here that will agree to join camp. There is none of you here that will agree to join after the rapture. You have known too much. You have known too much to go and bow yourself to the Pope of Rome. Why then did you not go in the rapture? Because you didn't have enough oil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The foolish virgins, they are looking at me now. You are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You will go through the fire, but you will be saved. But you will go by fire. Hallelujah. You will be saved, but you will go by fire. Because you had the Holy Ghost. It's just the oil, the level of revelation. You didn't bother. And everyone that has the Holy Ghost, you will go in the rapture. That's why we are here busy organizing the baptism of the Holy Ghost program. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we are not just here receiving the anointing. We are taking time to establish the people. That is trimming the lamp of revelation. The oil there is the spirit of revelation. Take time and study. Brother Ike was in my office during the week or so. He said that he was in a revelation and he was praying. He was telling the Lord that I want to know the scripture. I want to know revelation like Pastor Moses. I want to know the scripture like Pastor Moses. He said suddenly, the voice spoke to him. He said, look. He said he looked and he saw me with books. Plenty books. He said, if you want to have revelation like him, then study like he is studying. Because if you don't study, you cannot receive revelation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So every time you can go to the mountain and spend 1 week on top of the mountain. You made it a law. Every month you must go to the mountain. But you don't have, since this week started now, how many books have you read? Last Sunday till today. In fact, not because I'm coming to preach, I've always wanted to know about God. That is why I have confidence. Knowledge gives you confidence. If you quote, there is no scripture you will quote that I will not remember I have read it. What do you want to talk? I will go find that again. No, be so you talk. I will go confirm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was studying till 6:30 a.m. from 11:30 last night till 6:30 a.m. this morning. Before I realized, say, hey, I didn't go to church. Make a rest small. I couldn't even rest. I'm back here. What was I doing? I was studying. Praise the Lord. Somebody was here before. Sent me a book from London. Oh, God has richly blessed. It's a book that when you start, you don't want to stop. Where somebody wrote, he said, in the church, he said, leadership is male. An Oyibo man. And the book was forwarded by a woman. Confirming what that man was speaking. And he went deeper and deeper and deeper to prove, you know, that a woman has no part in the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ. Is it that book that I will see? That then I will drop somewhere. They ask for anointing. And that is what? Within 2 days, I will read down. My wife, they talk to me, say, you know, they get my attention. Oh, when they worry me, no, this is how they study. But you stay there and nothing. See, oil. And this thing comes by an anointing. You see, the Spirit of God comes upon you. There is, you know, His desire is for you to know Him. So He gives you that desire Himself. Hallelujah. And you say you didn't go to school, but you have ears. You can hear tapes. You can hear messages. Go and buy tape and listen to it. Even Bible now, there is a talking Bible. What do they call it? Audio Bible. That it can be reading it for you to be hearing. So nobody has excuse in this age. It's just, that's why they say you are foolish. You are foolish because all the avenues for you to know God is available now. You turn it down. Let me try to finish this thing. I have a few things that I will read here also for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll read something here that the writer here, behold the Antichrist also wrote here. Amen. And I was part of the writing of this book. And in page 152, let me just read something here also concerning this all important topic. Page 152. Praise God. Amen. There is a book he was quoting here called The Beast. You know, there's a book written by somebody titled The Beast. He was describing Revelation 17, the mother and her daughters. Now, and I quote, most significant, listen carefully, most significant was the beginning in 1965 of conversations between the World Council of Churches and the Roman Catholic Church. After all these centuries of separation, the Protestant daughters were beginning talks with their mother about a homecoming. In America, in an address to the St. Louis Rotary Club, Cardinal Ritter urged discussion between Catholics and Protestants at every level concerning common elements in their so-called Christian heritage. These conversations led in 1966 to the coordination of relief activities for the victims of famine in India and Africa. Similar actions also took place in Vietnam. Also in 1966, the Lutheran World Federation became the first world Protestant body to undertake discussions of doctrinal questions with the Roman Mother Church to explore the basis and means of reunion. And remember that Luther was the first to break out of Christ in the U.S., a federation of 34 Protestant and Eastern Orthodox denominations was founded in 1950. The NCC, as it is called, with its 40 million members, is the principal instrument in the U.S. that seeks to unite Protestant and Eastern Orthodox churches and ultimately all so-called Christians. All the members of the NCC in the U.S. are members of the World Council. To fulfill the ultimate goal of the ecumenical movement for a one-world church, there must be a reunion with the Roman Catholic Church. Since the corporation of the World Council of Churches in 1948, The devil's first stage strategy was to unite Protestantism under one ecumenical banner. At the 1961 World Meeting at New Delhi, the World Council of Churches embraced 150 Protestant denominations. It was at this meeting the next stage to gain Roman Catholic participation was initiated. For the first time since the Reformation, Roman Catholics were fellowshipping with Protestants as observers. They were given special place and privilege at the New Delhi meeting. Following the New Delhi meeting, Pope John opened an ecumenical council on October 11, 1962, the first since 1869 to 1817, and the first in the entire existence of the church. Ever since January 25, 1959, when the Supreme Pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church made his surprise announcement about calling the council and her separated daughters, reconciliation had been going on. This was all climaxed at the opening procession. Pope John, born, that is wearing a red gilt throne, wearing a jewel mitre and ceremonial robes, led the opening procession of 2,700 council fathers from 134 nations of the world. Also present were the Protestant delegates observers from the so-called Christian churches and organizations, including Anglicans, Disciples of Christ, Quakers, World Council of Churches, National Baptist Convention, and the Orthodox from Moscow. 85 special diplomatic missions were also in attendance, and 500,000 persons crowded St. Peter's Square to watch Pope John set forth the Council's primary aim, which is the promotion of Christian unity and the lowering of barriers between the Roman Catholic Church and her denominations. In his opening address, he took as his text Luke 11:23, quote, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." That was the Pope saying it that day. Generally speaking, the apostate Protestant movement was ready to be regathered. Amen. In early 1963, amen. In early 1963, news of Pope John's illness caused concern among people of all faiths. In April 1963, just 2 months before his death, Pope John delivered the encyclical Pacem in Laris. This was a plea and plan for world peace between East and West with the church as mediator. On June 23, 1963, Pope John died at the age of 81. His pontificate had lasted less than 5 years. Giovanni Battista Montini, elected John's successor, announced in his first public address that his reign would be devoted to completing the work Pope John had undertaken. Pope Paul VI, that's the chosen name of Montini, resumed the Ecumenical Council September 29, 1963 to emphasize his determination that the door of reconciliation was still open. The Pope appealed to the separated Eastern churches and other so-called Christian denominations to accept the apologies of the Roman Catholic Church for all wrongs done them by the church in the past. With this ready-made stage, we are already witnessing the fulfillment of Isaiah 4:1, wherein 7 women will take a hold of 1 man in this last day, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." This is that day when the rest of Gentile Christendom, according to the favors of the Roman Church, and the end of it is a global super church that will kill and destroy anyone or anything that would be a dissenter from their common goals as the world nears its end. Hallelujah. It was from the U.S., that is unquote, it was from the U.S. that Bishop Mears, so many of us know him, of the Episcopal Diocese of California, cried to all Christendom, saying, "Let us recognize the Pope of Rome as the Holy Father of Christendom. For it is he alone who can bring peace to the Christian world." Unquote. One time, U.S. President Lyndon Johnson, during the visit of Pope Paul to New York to address the United Nations in 1965, whispered to the Pope, quote, "It is you, most holy Father, we are looking to for the answers to world peace," unquote. Billy Graham, one of the best known evangelists in modern times, and a host of others in his class, have made statements too that have served to turn the eyes of their unnumbered followers away from where they ought to look biblically and see the beast and his image gaining dominance to where they ought not to look. Billy Graham was at a time awarded a scroll and a plaque of St. Francis of Assisi at a Catholic dinner in Minneapolis for true ecumenism. At the Roman Catholic Belmont College, Billy Graham was granted an honorary doctorate degree. He told his audience that day that the gospel that founded this Roman Catholic College is the same gospel which I preach today. Unquote. He also said of this present Pope, concerning John Paul II, he said, "He will go down in history as the greatest of our modern popes." This is Billy Graham saying, you know, he's been the strong conscience of the whole Christian world. Unquote. This is Billy Graham speaking about the Pope. And Billy Graham is the most respected preacher in America and the whole world today in the Protestant movement. These and such other words from the movers and shakers of the religious society in the Gentile world, the Gentile church world, blind the eyes of multiple millions to the Bible fact of our day and time. As the two angels in Lot's house blinded the eyes of the Sodomites and they wearied themselves to find the door, so are the eyes of unrevelated but church-going mankind being blinded to the sober realities of the momentous times we live in by these blinding human angels of our day. Their ministries serve as part of the great delusion God set on all who have no love for truth. Amen. Hallelujah. I have to read some more. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the truth. And Brother Eric, thank you very much. You sent a write-up to me. I think that was Friday night. And I read part of it concerning what I'm saying now. He said the United Religious Initiative, Deacon Eric, he studies a lot too. The United Religious Initiative was signed into what government leaders refer to as a global law. The truth is, this law signed in June 26, 2000 is actually a law that states that any pope sitting in the Vatican after that date, that is June 26, the year 2000, is now considered the universal moral authority over all churches with membership of the Worldwide Council of Churches, which essentially looks over your locally known National Council of Churches, like CAN. And this includes non-Christian churches that have joined. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, verse 16 of Revelation chapter 13. Let's look at it again. Revelation chapter 13. So if anybody is doubting the power of the World Council of Churches, you can catch it here now. Verse 16, Revelation chapter 13. Amen. That beast, the lamb beast, which we know today to be America, and he caused all, hallelujah, amen, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. Somebody shout the mark or the name of the beast. Somebody said the name of the beast. So there is the mark of the beast. We also have the name of the beast, or the number of the name of the beast. You must have, hallelujah, you must have that mark, or you must have the name of the beast. You either have the mark, or you are known by the name of the beast. I am Catholic. Does somebody understand me? Hallelujah. Amen. Or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here is wisdom. Because Daniel said the wise shall understand. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beasts. For it is the number of who? The number of who? So the Antichrist is a man. If you don't catch this, you will never catch anything again in the Bible. So that you have reason to make your calling and election sure. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That is 666. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said it is the wisdom. So it means you need an understanding to calculate it. So any that man that we will calculate, and that number 666 will be the number of his name, then you will know that man is the Antichrist that is coming. Okay, let's have it now. Look at your screen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. First, we go back to Daniel chapter 3 verse 1. No, just listen. You can watch the screen, because I tried to put the calculation, if they can show it, on the screen. And the reason is, I have written it before. And I gave you in a piece of paper. But this time, I want to put it so that other people that you will give to watch the video, they can also see it for themselves and calculate it. That's why I put it there. And those of you watching us from overseas, see it now. All of you in Europe, you are under something. Very soon, you will run back to Nigeria. Don't worry. Now, the first one you want to see is that number 666 associated with the power. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was, hallelujah, 60 cubits, that is 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, in verse 4 and verse 5, it says, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is recommended, all people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, 1, flute, 2, harp, 3, psalter, 4, verse 3, 5, decimal, 6, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. It is worthy of note that in this false idolatry worship involving an image, the same number features so remarkably. This is the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, when Babylon was the prevailing world power. And the throne and dynasty of David was suspended and has been since then. The image was 60 cubits high. The breadth was 6 cubits. And there were exactly 6 musical instruments mentioned by name. You cannot help but observe the 3 times occurrence of the figure 666. As it was in the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, so it is at the end of it. Mankind, soon to be under a one world government, will face the same kind of situation again. Now, number 2. According to Alexander Hislop, the author of the Two Babylons, the original name of Rome was Saturnia, meaning the city of Saturn, or Shabob Anisha in the Chaldean tongue. Saturn was but another name of Nimrod. It was the secret name revealed only to the initiates of the Chaldean mysteries, which in Chaldean was spelled with four letters, S-T-U-R. In this language, 6 is 60, T is 400, U is 6, R is 200, and this totals 666. It is a number linked to Rome, the city of Saturn. Number 3, Nero Caesar, one of the greatest persecutors of Christians and an emperor of Rome at the height of his power, had a name which, when written in Hebrew, is Nero Caesar. If you calculate it also using the Roman numerals, break it down, which also equals 666. The Greek word, number 4, Latinus, from where the word Latin, the official language of Rome, took its name, amounts to 666 when Greek numerical values are applied to the letters. And that is the calculation there. Add it, you will see the total is 666, even the language that they speak. Number 5, this same word also means Latin man, and is by the Greek form of the name Romulus, from which the present city of Rome, both the language and also the name of the city, is named. And adding to the significance, this name in Hebrew is Romit, and it also totals 666 in Hebrew numerical values. Number 6, I'm giving you now, even the Bible says in the mouth of 2 or 3, let the matter be established. I'm going. All like the Greeks and Hebrews, the Romans did not use all their alphabets for numbers. They used only 6 letters, D, C, L, X, V, and I. All other numbers were made up of combinations of these. It is significant to note that these 6 letters that make up the Roman numeral system, add all of them when they are added together, total exactly what? 666. That's the calculation there. You can see it. Number 7. It is well known that, it's a known fact that the Pope claims to be the Vicar of Christ. This title in Latin is written to us, Vicaris Filii Dei. In Roman numerals, this title of the Pope is totally 666. If you add it, the letters A, R, S, F, and E have no numerical values in the Roman system. Those that do have, they are the V, I, C, I, V, I, L, I, I, D, I. Add all of them, the total is 666. This is the title of the Antichrist. Another official Latin title the pontiff is known by is Latinus Rex Sacerdotus. And this means Latin priest king. Latin priest king. Add all of them together, Latin Rex Sacerdotus, you find 666. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Note, the letters L-I-S-V-S-D, total 666 in Roman numerals. The rest of the letters have no numerical word. Also, V and U have the same numerical value in Roman reckoning and can be interchanged. This title can also be written thus, Latinus Rex Sacerdotus of Vicaris Filii Dei. The title Pontiff is a hidden one, and the full title is Pontifex Maximus, born by the pagan Caesars of Rome. There is no such title in the Bible, just as there is no title in the Bible such as Archbishop, Cardinal, Most Reverend, Right Reverend, His Eminence, His Grace, His Lordship, His Holiness, etc. They are all Antichrist titles, for no early apostle was ever addressed thus. Hallelujah! These titles and their numerical values, as shown, point an unwavering finger at the Antichrist's origin. Number one, he will be a Roman prince, a pope of the Roman Catholic Church. That is the essence of the number 666. It is for the purpose of identification, first and foremost. In the New Testament, the letters of the Greek word euporia, from which the word world is translated, if you add it, it is 666. Note, listen very carefully. Out of all the 2,000 Greek nouns of the New Testament, there is only one other word that has this numerical value, and that word is paradosis, which means tradition, as we see it in Acts chapter 19, verse 25. Wealth, in Matthew 15, Acts chapter 19, verse 25 is wealth, and Matthew 15, verse 2 is tradition. And this wealth and tradition, as it is written in the Greek, add them together, that word, wealth, and that word, tradition in Greek, add it, is 666. Notice that wealth and tradition, strangely enough, were the two great corruptors of the Roman Church. Wealth corrupted her in practice and honesty, and tradition corrupted her in doctrine. Whosoever has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. We have done so, and we see clearly that this is the number of the papacy. There could be other names of other individuals that total 666, but they do not head any global religious system as the Pope. And it is highly doubtful if such a name, if it exists, will amount to the same number, 666, in different numerical systems of different tongues, as we see in the case above. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want you to note, hallelujah, that there is Saint Malachi. Is it Malachi or Malachi? He was a priest of the Roman Catholic Church that went to visit the Pope with, those of us who have read the history, in the year AD 1139. Saint Malachi said he had a vision because it is recorded that he was a gifted priest. He had a healing gift that he was using to help the sick. That's the way it was written there. And he also, had the gift of seeing visions. And he had this vision that God revealed to him concerning, the popes. And that the Lord told him that the total number of popes that will be appointed will be 268. That after the 268th pope, that the world will end and Jesus will come. And it is interesting to note that exactly, not just that, I took time to read it. He prophesied it in 1139, and as at the time he prophesied it, 156 or so had already gone. So remaining about 112. And this 112, he described every one of them, their identity. And every one has come to pass exactly as he described. And we are now in the second to the last. The present Pope is the second to the last Pope. You see why I say our redemption is nearer? The present Pope, he is Pope number 267. And he recorded that 268th Pope is going to be a no-nonsense Pope. It's going to be a no-nonsense Pope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to be a no-nonsense Pope. See the time we're living in. And I understand, I was reading, that the present Pope, because of ill health, he wants to resign. Your redemption is nearer than you have ever thought of. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The mark of the beast is, listen, he will cause you to have to take a mark. Who is the one that will do it? It is the second beast. And the second beast we all see today is America. He's going to cause the world to take a mark. Church, listen. This mark of the beast is both physical and spiritual. You have to catch it all. The spiritual mark is the mark of unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A mark is for identification. It's for identification. A mark is for identification. Now, when you say, you know, I show you in the Bible that there is nothing like three persons in one God. That the doctrine of Trinity is unscriptural. And you say, no. Now, do you know why you are saying no? It is because of what they have taught you. Okay? Now, that becomes a mark on you that you are marked with the mark of the Antichrist. Because he's the one that tore God into three, beginning from AD 325. So it's a mark of unbelief. You are marked. And then, see, the mark is already going on now. The spiritual mark. The spiritual mark. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a means of identification. It is, the mark is put on your forehead. Hallelujah. And on your right hand. Forehead has to do with what you believe. Amen. Right hand has to be with your actions as a result of what you believe. Remember, it's a language of revelation. On your forehead and on your right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, do you know that there are so-called Christian churches, even the Anglican church is ordaining homosexuals, gay bishops, gay. What the Bible call abomination. Hallelujah. 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 Churches now are having same-sex marriages. A man and a man will come. You need to live together as husband and wife forever and ever, for better, for worse. Yes. And at that point, in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, I pronounce you husband and wife. Who is husband? Who is wife? In the church, holding Bible. So that you'll understand the mark of the beast. It's a satanic. The spirit of error is the spirit of Satan. The man of sin is he. The man of that the son of perdition. One that leads people to destruction. There's a spirit that leads people to destruction. That spirit led one third of the population of angels in heaven and led them to destruction through rebellion. Is it not the same thing happening now to achieve that again with human beings? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me read another thing here. Are you tired of my reading? Few minutes, I'll close. Few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read something here for you again. This same book. He said, before anyone can take the physical mark of the beast, that individual will have been marked spiritually in unbelief first. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I have to read it because this agrees with what I've always believed. Because whatever is on the inside determines what happens on the outside of any individual. thus to have the mark of the beast on the forehead is to believe and accept denominational antichrist creeds and dogmas in one's heart. And to have it on the right hand, which speaks of ability to do things, is to carry out the things believed, to practice them in rebellion against God Almighty and His Word. Millions are thus marked in our world today. They are into all kinds of antichrist human programs in the name of Christ. Legalizing homosexuality and lesbianism, and blessing same-sex marriages, fornication, adultery, and cohabitation are subtly encouraged in unbiblical practices like singles nights, love feasts, Valentine's Day. You know what they do there. Ordaining women into the clergy against the teachings of the Bible. Denying the authority of the written word, or making it an open-ended book so as to add their own heretical revelations. The Bible is a read-only book. It is right protected, to borrow a few words from the computer world. You cannot add to or subtract from it and still be pleasing to the omniscient God who authored it using human scribes. The flagrant disregard and the denial of the fundamental teachings of the Christian faith, like the virgin birth, the resurrection, the actual return of Jesus in a corporal body, etc., seem to be the order of the day. Church leaders compete with each other to see who will be more modern and scientific in their approach and presentation of the gospel. It is an age of Christianity made easy. But it does not work quite that way. Hallelujah. And quoting Thomas Paine, he said, quote, "That which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only which gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price on its goods." Unquote. There is a price if you want to go to heaven. The price of a holy and pleasing walk with God is what this evil and adulterous generation is not ready to pay. All they want is to dress, talk, think, and act anyhow they want to. Do whatever makes them feel good and still belong to a church, and talk in tongues and confess Christ. More often than not, this is done in a yuppie-yuppie way, as the hip-hop balance goes, and not in the old-fashioned way of real remorse and godly sorrow that worketh repentance. It is an age of palmed or Jericho-called hair pastors who look more like disco jockeys, DJs, than men of God. It is bad enough for women professing godliness to wear such God-forsaken worldling hairstyles. How much more preachers of the gospel? They end up raising congregations of sin-loving, immorally dressed perverts who know no more about God than a Hottentot will know of an Egyptian night. They are women in micro minis, low neck blouses, see-through mosquito net dresses, body hugs, ties, leggings, trousers, slit skirts, and spikes for heels, painted in every color of the rainbow. They are men with punk haircuts and earrings on one ear or two sometimes. They remind any true Christian more of Sodom and Gomorrah than the Christian church. This is the real mark of the beast. It is the mark of unconversion. A journey that has only one conclusion: the lake of fire, unless they repent before it is too late. Such a multitude of unwise churchgoers will readily receive the mark of the beast when it is physically enforced, having sold out to Satan spiritually. And they most certainly will. On the day of judgment, many women will go into torment as fornicators and adulterers, not because they indulge in the act physically, but because of the immoral clothes they wear today, causing men to lust after them as they display female flesh to the glory of Satan. That's what the Lord said in Matthew 5, from verse 27 and 28. It takes two to commit fornication or adultery. Every sensible woman, especially a Christian, will dress shamefacedly and cover her nakedness in public. If she intentionally wears immoral clothes, dressing to kill, as the saying goes, then she's a prostitute in every sense of the word. She's attired like an harlot. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when he said buy and sell, the mark of the beast, if you don't have it, you will not be allowed to buy nor to sell. It lets you know, because I said the mark is physical and spiritual. Spiritual, you will not be allowed to preach. You will not be allowed to set up any church. That church will scatter. Because the Bible refers to the act of preaching also as buying and selling. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's true. Hallelujah. Physical mark now. And I close on that physical mark. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The physical mark. Physically, there will be a mark that will be put on your forehead and on your right hand. It will surely come to pass. And who is he that caused the whole world to have that mark? Who is he? America, the second lamb beast in Revelation chapter 13. Hallelujah. It's America. What America? It's America. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it is already going on. That is the reason why I am preaching this message. It starts with the cash light. There is this effort that has been going on since this 20th century to stop people from using cash. Yes, it was reduced to card. Who first started it? It's America. Hallelujah. It's a card now that has a computer chip. Amen. It started. What brought about it was the idea of, you know, healthcare insurance. You carry a card. If you have that card, you are insured. Health will be provided for you, and your insurance company will pay. Just go with that card. So you don't go to any hospital and pay cash anymore. And remember, the purpose is good. Then, because the whole thing was, you know, to provide a means of identifying who is entitled to, you know, to the program. Health care purpose. Very, very harmless. Wonderfully, you know, beautiful. Then the idea progressed. Hallelujah. To also buying other things with the card. It's the same America that introduced it. All this ATM card you have, all this credit card we have and debit cards we have, Visa, MasterCard and all the rest, it is all to make things easy. Because if you hold that card, can somebody rob you of your money? No. You know, very harmless. But now, hallelujah, for the purpose of the health care, America again. America gave the whole world whatever we have today in scientific advancement. Satellites, whatever it is. Now, what if you have accident? There's emergency around you and there is no card. How will they know if you are entitled to it or not? So, Obama Healthcare was born. The idea is to make sure that every American citizen, you know, is given proper health care. Very wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read what they say here. On Sunday, March 21, 2010, the Senate Health Care Bill HR 3200 was passed and signed into law the following Tuesday. This new law requires an RFID chip implanted in all Americans inside their body. You will now implant a chip, computer chip, something small. That chip contains everything concerning you. Okay? It has been passed into law. Okay. This new law requires RFID chip implanted in all Americans. Page 1004 of the new law dictates the timing of this chip to be carried out, saying not later than 36 months after the date of the enactment. This means that by March 23rd, 2013, all Americans will be required to have an RFID chip underneath the skin, which will be linked to each American's bank account, as well as have his or her personal records and with tracking capability built into it. So if you grab any American and you kidnap, that's all. That thing will tell through their satellite where you are, and they will come there and save you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Very, very beautiful, isn't it? Very, very, very wonderful. So no more kidnapping of Americans. Unless you kidnap and kill them immediately. Hey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. An effective date. The Secretary of Health and Human Services shall establish and begin implementation of the registry under Section 519G of the Federal Food, Drug and Cosmetic Act as added by Paragraph 1 by not later than the date, that is 36 months after the date of the enactment of this Act, without regard to whether or not final regulations to establish and operate the registry have been promulgated by such date. And Republican Congressman Ron Paul from Texas states on his website, this is what he said, in real world speak, according to this report, this new law, when fully implemented, provides the framework for making the United States the first nation in the world to require each and every one of its citizens to have implanted in them a radio frequency identification microchip for the purpose of controlling who is or who isn't allowed medical care in their country. And some people are challenging the law that it is against their constitutional right. Why should you make it compulsory? They have gone to the Federal High Court. They were defeated. Now they are in the Supreme Court. And I can assure you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can assure you that that law, amen, that law, it must stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me have my final reading here. Let me have my final reading here. Praise the Lord. Our redemption is near. There's nothing that emanates from America that does not spread around the whole world. Are you not surprised that suddenly the Central Bank of Nigeria, hallelujah, suddenly said, change all your account numbers to 10 digits. It was not Nigeria. It is an agreement by all the central banks of the whole world that every country should have that 10-digit, because the whole world is now being linked to a central computer. And they said the reason is normally very wonderful, so that they can trace money laundering because of these terrorists. You see? Hallelujah. Drug pushers and terrorism. So isn't it beautiful? Very beautiful. Very beautiful. Serpent was going to sleep with that woman for pleasure. When you ask Serpent, he say, but they charge. He didn't know anything. When they charge, I'm get agenda. The thing that is pushing America to produce that, get agenda. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read on right now. Scientists in the US are pioneering this technology. They do not have the Antichrist in mind in doing this. No, not at all. But it is in an effort to beat fraudsters and criminals of all sorts, both the local and the international ones. Checks, credit cards, smart cards can be stolen and used, but not that computer chip embedded beneath the skin. Just as the US gave the computer to the world, and most of the computer software corporations are US based, the wizardry of that equipment, of what that equipment can do today, can be looked upon as strictly US technology shared with the world. Hallelujah. This invention, spawned on the shores and by the brains of the lamb beast nation that came out of the earth, is what finally falls into the hand of the Antichrist to be used as a tool for world dominion when his hour arrives. He will be a man that will understand the dark sentences of the computer at that hour, as we see in Daniel 8:23. The actual machine language that the computer understands meets his prophetic description. He need not be a computer guru himself, but he will definitely make use of his tremendous services. Even now, computer literacy is required before employment in practically every field. This is why the Bible says that the lamb beast cursed all, both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, to receive a mark on their forehead or their right hand, and that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What the Antichrist will do in the countries involved in the many, those many nations mentioned in Daniel 9:27, will be because of the inventions and technological advancements in computer science in the US, especially in the area of a cashless system of commerce. Hallelujah. By that hour of the tribulation, this technology will no longer be peculiar to the US. It will be global, as it is gradually spreading today, even in Nigeria. It is not that the US Congress will pass a bill forcing all to take the mark. No. But it is because of the scientific invention she gives the world that the mark is brought about and physically enforced. It was meant for good, but Satan will use it. Nevertheless, this will never come into place until after the rapture of the church. That's some good news, isn't it? That's some good news. This is one of the many roles God raised the lamb beast, America, that nation, to play. She has been used of God to protect the Bible and support the gospel for some 200 years now. And B, has been used by God to help to restore Israel back to Palestine and shield Israel by her pro-Jewish foreign policies. See? Has been used by God to cause it is now being used now by the devil also to cause the rest of the world to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed by rebuilding Europe after World War II. And finally, create a fair, safe financial system that will enable the mark of the beast to be enforced. This she unwittingly does through, hallelujah, the computer technology she gives the world, which the Antichrist will end up using. The U.S. has about outlived her usefulness in God's prophetic timetable as a global policeman in the magnitude she has been since the Gulf War. The last role she will play before millennium is to shield the woman element of Israel. Men, women, and children flee from the wrath of the Antichrist during the tribulation period. She is the earth nation that will help the woman by containing the threat posed by the Antichrist to these fleeing Jews who had been saved under the ministries of those two witnesses in Revelation 12 and Revelation 13. The North American continent is where the angel referred to as the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God. It is her place where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, times 2 years, and half a time, that is 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. This is the fulfillment of Jeremiah 30 verse 7, where he says, it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he, spiritual Israel, shall be saved out of it. And, hallelujah. But before the U.S. plays this last noble role, she will go through a devastating house cleaning by the judgment of God on her in this generation. Already, youth violence and juvenile crimes are rampant there. Like Israel of old, she began with God, but when she waxed strong and rich, she forsook her God and now leads the world in iniquity. As a wilderness, it was previously unknown as part of the inhabited world, while the four Gentile empires were in their heydays. As Israel's place prepared for her of God, it is the only part of the world that has fully received and accommodated the Jew like no other place in Jewish history. There are more Jews today in the United States of America than there are in their homeland. American Jews control a big chunk of the U.S. economy and have a weighty voice in the U.S. Congress. This earth nation will accommodate and protect the woman of Revelation 12 as she flees from the Antichrist during the tribulation, because no other part of the world is destined by God to do it except the U.S. Some Bible teachers say that they will flee to the surrounding hills of Judea, but how can that be when the Antichrist forces will overrun the whole of Palestine? The friendship between the U.S. and the state of Israel is legendary, since the U.S. pressured the U.N. and Britain to carve out a space for the Jews in Palestine in the 1940s and was the first country to recognize it 6 minutes after it became a nation on May 14, 1948. U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright said recently, there is no limit on our commitment to Israel. This underscores the unique relationship between Israel and the United States. The United States has also shielded and supported the Jewish state from her rebirth till death. It will continue till Israel is strong enough to play her latter day role in Palestine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The bride is equipping herself with this revelation, so that you know where to stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. While the world, the Antichrist, is preparing to give the mark on the forehead and on the right hand. Hallelujah. That is the interesting part of it. God is never taken unawares. Hallelujah. God is also preparing his own bride and is also sealing them with a seal. With a seal. With a seal. With a seal. It's a mark. It's a mark. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. While he's baptizing them with his mark of unbelief, God is also, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Hallelujah. Open it. Open. I want to show you something from verse 1 there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. See, 4 verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are what? Until the day we go in the rapture. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Verse 13. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom, that is in Christ, ye also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believe the message, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until when? The redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Hey! Hallelujah! The seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is his finished work. The seal of the Antichrist is the mark of the beast. You remain like that until you find yourself in hellfire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I keep saying, hallelujah, that the most important sermon in this Bible is the sermon for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the most important program any church should hold is a program to bring the people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because it is the sealing of your salvation. It is the sealing of your redemption. And knowing that very soon, hallelujah, very soon, very, very soon, somebody say very soon. Say it, very soon, very soon. Oh, hallelujah. Very, very soon, very, very soon, somebody will come to this church and look for Pastor Moses. You don't go see me. Oh yes, you don't go see me.